Before we get to our next guest, Gay Culverhouse, I want to give a quick shout-out to our friends over at the Gridiron Greats organization. Folks, please help support a wonderful cause that's taking care of the guys who left so much of themselves out on the field. These are the guys, folks, that played back when they still had to get off-season jobs to support themselves and their families. It's organizations like this one that Mike Ditka started, again, the Gridiron Greats, who are there trying to help the guys we all grew up watching and reading about. Please go online to gridirongreats.org to see what you can do to get involved. And now back in making her fourth appearance with us on Thursday Night Tailgate is Gay Culverhouse. Let me remind you about Gay's background. She's the former president of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Notre Dame. She's the daughter of former Bucs owner Hugh Culverhouse. She's also the founder of the Gay Culverhouse Players Outreach Program, which assists retired NFL players with access to the benefits that they are entitled to from the NFL. She's the author of the book Throwaway Players, The Concussion Crisis from Pee-wee Football to the NFL. Beyond all of that, she shares the same birthday as my mother, which is coming up here on February the 5th. And we're excited she is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Gay, Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back, Gay.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's always a pleasure.
So, Gay, you've been doing such a wonderful job looking out for the NFL alumni players, and you've campaigned to get the players to, you know, to register for the concussion lawsuit. The effective date, I was just looking this up earlier today, the effective date of the settlement was almost a year ago to this day, January 7th, 2017. But I haven't heard much about money exchanging hands. Have you heard, are any of the players starting to see money from the settlement?
It is a sad, sad situation, and I'm glad you asked me to share what I know about it at this point. One of the biggest issues, whether or not the men have heard from the settlement or not, they're going to very soon. 150 men are having their applications denied as we speak because they all went to the same doctor in California, a Dr. Hoover, and they all received the exact same wording on their test. We have 150 men that the doctor wrote exactly the same thing, saying that they all did have concussion problems at a 2.0 level. And because this doctor fabricated her results, all 150 men are being denied.
Wow. So what do they do with that? Right? I mean, is that just it? That they're done? What can these guys do?
Well, their attorneys, me, are going to have to get them retested immediately and reapply. I mean,
so can they do that? Is that still available to them?
Well, since they've already applied once and they have a registration number, yes. If you were just now trying to get a registration number, it's way too late as of last August 7th, 2017. But if you have a number, you're in the system. I have a direct line to one of the people. She was actually set aside for me by the settlement, and I send everyone, I don't send them. I do it. I actually call on their behalf and make everything happen for them as a volunteer. I want to keep saying that. I don't charge. But this is big news and bad news, because this was one of those doctors who was churning things out for a hefty fee. You were guaranteed that you would get a 2.0 if you went to this doctor. And unfortunately, all of the reports that were written under her signature had the exact same wording. And you can't help but say that the concussion office reviewing these was correct in denying, because you can't have 150 guys with exactly the same medical report.
Right. So beyond that, is money starting to flow? I mean, are you seeing players starting to get the assistance that they need, or is that still not happening?
No, it is beginning to happen. And, of course, they're starting with the most involved players, the players with ALS and Parkinson's. But it is still painfully slow. And you're going to have a guest on, I believe, February the 1st, who can really speak to that. He's in the midst of this, and ask him about it. He's one of the more involved players, Chris Washington.
Right.
And he will be a very good player to ask the inside dope, personal inside dope on what's going on.
And Gay, what happens, and I haven't read enough about it to understand where the college players fit in all of this. I mean, we have guys like Kerry Good of Alabama, who's, you know, dealing with, you know, ALS, and several other guys who never got to the next level, but are still experiencing some of the same sorts of things that played at the college level. Where is there work being done to help the college kids?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
The only thing that's being done is if you're a college athlete, you have insurance through the college, medical insurance through the college. Once you're no longer a player, I don't know what the policy says. I don't know. But I'll tell you, I mean, there are high school players that are dying on the field. I'm sure you've read about it. There are players that have died. And unfortunately, when you go to a trial, and I've talked to a number of parents, when you go, they don't value the life of a teenager as worth much. If you're a 43-year-old man that has a full-time job and three children and a wife to support, they value your income and pay insurance premium out. You know, they pay accordingly if you die. But a 17-year-old kid playing football, they're not going to pay the parents much for his death.
Bob, questions for Gay?
Great to speak with you, Gay. And Chris and I always marvel at the work you're doing and the importance of it. And I know you wrote a book about it, Gay, as far as even going back to peewee football. And that would be my concern, Gay, that there's people, before they even get to college or the NFL, they definitely may be having problems due to concussions. But are you for universal precautions at that peewee level, Gay? What do you think should be happening when these kids are 7, 8 years old?
Well, it's a really difficult issue, and it depends on what part of the country you live in as well, because there is social pressure. For example, in Mobile, Alabama, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, for these kids to start playing, I was driving the other day in a very southern state and saw a sign that said, "Sign your 3 to 5-year-old up for football." I about ran off the blinking road. I mean, I seriously scratch my head and said, please, people, do not sign your 3-year-old up. But it's a cultural phenomenon in certain states. And if your son doesn't play, there must be something wrong with him or with you or with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sad situation, but it's a social cultural phenomenon. I mean, Roll Tide, you know. I went to the Alabama State High School Championships in Tuscaloosa at Bear Bryant Stadium. There were hundreds of thousands of parents and supporters for high school coming in every 4 hours for another game because it was another division. It snowed. You could not see the lines on the field. And people filled the stadium and sat there and did not move in a blinking snowstorm to watch these high school kids play. And the fathers and mothers are talking about, oh, yeah, we hope he gets into Alabama. This is his greatest dream come true, to be playing on Bears Field. And you know that that kid has no choice. Born in the South to Southern parents, and he's going to play football. Now, then, if you're in another state, it is different. But in the South, and you look at Florida, Florida has three NFL football teams. There is not a kid who's 6 years old who can't name you the quarterback of each of those three teams. I mean, it is the culture, and you can't fight the culture. You can try to inform parents, but they don't want to hear it. I mean, their identity is wrapped up in their kid and his football team.
Very true. And I often think, Gay, the game, as we watch it weekly and talk about it weekly and see, it seems like it's getting worse and worse. Guys going down and staying down and going through the so-called concussion protocol. It is such a violent game. The guys are getting bigger, faster. It seems like it's got to hit a head someday. But I often think of people like yourself, families who own teams, who have to think of, my goodness, where is it going to come in the future with lawsuits and everything? Are players going to have to sign in waivers? Do you often think of you put yourself owning teams again and think about how this might shake out medically down the road?
No. Mm. No on two counts. No, I would never own a team. No, I would never work for a team. I find it abhorrent. But in all honesty, legally, there's nothing you can do. It's like you can choose to be a lineman a lineman that repairs telephone lines. You can choose that job, and it pays $45 an hour because it's a risky job. But you get a lot of money, and you get overtime, and you get a lot of perks from the phone company, right? Yeah. No one's making you take that job. You are choosing to take that job with the inherent risks involved in that job, and the job is paying you the risk, and you knowingly take the risk.
True.
And a policeman, my son works for the sheriff's office. A policeman knowingly signs up for hazardous duty. When you become a deputy, you know you're going to be put in a line of fire at some point. You choose it. If you die, it's not like your wife can sue the police department because you decided to take a dangerous job.
True. Right.
And so it's the same thing with football, with hockey, basketball. You are choosing to do that. You can choose not to do that. But if you choose to do it and you play for a couple of years, you make an awful lot of money and you are being paid for your risk. You don't have to do it.
And Gay, before we let you go, like we like to talk about this every time you join us because you're an amazing story, and I think you've got you inspire a lot of people because you've got your own battle going on with a rare form of cancer that affects your bone marrow, and you have, like we said every time, you have far exceeded what any doctor ever thought you could do and how long you could live. Updates, how are you doing?
Well, right before Christmas, I became transfusion dependent. So I no longer make red cells. My body shut down production of that.
So what does that
mean?
So
I have to get transfusion. So I would ask you to please tell all of your friends when they see the big red bus to donate blood, go donate blood. I may be the one using it. But I can't produce my own blood, and red cells carry the oxygen to your body to make it function, because your muscles need oxygen and your brain and, you know, your body needs oxygen to survive, and it's taken through your body through red cells. I no longer make red cells, so I have to get transfused to get those red cells.
So how often do you have to do that?
Well, we're in the beginning stages of it, so I'm not quite sure how often. But, we'll just have to see how it goes. But, my story is coming to a conclusion, let's put it that way. So I'm just working harder and faster for these players and finding other people to fill in for me. And do what I do. but it's, you know, there's always another player that needs help, always. And so we're working on it. You know, that's all I can do. Every day I spend about 10 hours working to get these players their benefits and, you know, try to get the NFL system to change. Because one of the things we've got going on now, which I'm fighting and we're going to end up in court on sooner rather than later, is the fact that the players, if you look at the concussion, post-concussion symptoms or CTE symptoms, they come out looking like they might be psychiatric, like depression or bipolar. If you have depression or bipolar, you're not going to get the benefits from the NFL. And so I'm trying to get them to understand that the side effects of concussions are exactly the same, and they need to quit calling it psychiatric and start calling it what it is, a result of a series of concussions.
So, Gabe, so for any former player that might be listening tonight that, you know, needs help, recognizes that they need help, don't know where to turn for help, how can they find you?
I am on LinkedIn and I am on Twitter.
What's your Twitter handle?
GC223G.
So we'll get that out there, and hopefully some folks that are listening tonight or different players that we come in contact with that, you know, are looking for a place to turn because they need help, we can get them over to you because you're doing such great things for so many of the former players. So kudos to you, Gay, for all the things that you continue to do.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I look forward to hearing from lots of players because we've got a team now working hard for them.
Gay, take care. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you again, I hope real soon.
Yeah, well, thank you. I look forward to that, too. You take care, and happy birthday to the mom.
There you go. Happy birthday to you, too. Thank you, Gay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You take care, Gay.
Bye. That's a great Gay Culverhouse. And Bob, you know, first of all, kudos to her for all the great things that she's been doing. We've been talking to Gay now, you know, for over a year about the work she's doing for the former players. So she goes to great lengths at her own expense to try to help the players get the benefits that they need. So can't say enough great things about her. And then on top of the battle that she's waging with cancer, it's an unbelievable story.
Yeah, as you alluded to at the end, Chris, her own struggles and challenges right now, and she's very well aware of, and she continues to do it. She's a very, very selfless individual, not selfish, that's selfless, people. And I don't think I'm speaking for you when I tell her she's a hero to both of us, Chris. And
yes,
what she's doing will live on longer than all of us when we're all gone. So we just hope she stays well and continues to do what she can for as long as she can.
All right, when Bob and I come back, we'll be turning on the Thursday Night Tailgate Spotlight on the positive. Hear which players are doing great things in their communities, and we'll do all that. Then we'll wrap up the show on the other side of these words about our friends over at the Salt Creek Golf Retreat and Doubleback Winery.